We move on to the next case of the morning, which is Diamond Plating Company versus United States. Mr. Hamilton.
May it please the court. My name is Phil Hamilton. I represent the appellant. Your Honors, this case should have gone to trial. The court erred in granting summary judgment. The court improperly drew inferences from the underlying facts in the light most favorable to the defendant, not the plaintiff, as the party opposing the motion. There was an abundance of facts in this case that should have been sufficient for the plaintiff to get this case to the jury. And I submit that if the court remands this case and reverses it and sends it back to the district court, that a jury is going to rule for the plaintiff in this case. In the briefs, the parties developed a number of areas which should have been favorable to the plaintiff. The long compliance history of Diamond Plating Company should have been at least given some weight by the court. The district court seemed to ignore that the corporation had been around since 1961, and other than a brief lapse of time in the period of 1998 and 1999, they had a flawless history of paying their taxes and filing their returns on time. Court seemed to give no weight to the fact that the IRS had sent no notices of noncompliance to the taxpayer, and the taxpayer came forward and filed their returns and paid their taxes. It was 5 months after they filed the returns before the IRS came in and said, you know, we've got to do something about this situation. The taxpayer filed these returns on their own without any request from the IRS, and there's other cases in which taxpayers have lost their claims for penalty abatement where it was clear that the IRS was involved and there was a continuing pattern of not paying the taxes that is not evident in this case.
I recognize a lot of these equities and goodwill and that sort of thing, but there seems to be kind of a high standard. Maybe that's unfortunate, but don't you have to show a significant financial hardship, and isn't that what comes into play here? Isn't there a standard that you have to meet, kind of a high burden?
We have a heavy burden, as the Supreme Court has said, to show a financial hardship. In this case, we have a little bit of both things going on here. We have the financial hardship, and we also have the concealment of the problem, the scope of the problem, by the Secretary and Treasurer, Gina Scottura. But we have an extremely difficult burden.
Is that intentional concealment, you think? Is that what that was?
In my view, she omitted a substantial and material fact from the principal, the shareholder of the corporation.
How much are they paying this accountant that comes in and says, pay your taxes and leaves, and doesn't even note when he sees they're not paid the next time he shows up?
How much was he being paid for services?
Well, I assume he's hired and supposed to audit and do some other things. That's what sort of perplexed me, is that this, whoever he was, I forget his name, he didn't alert anybody other than telling whoever just happened to be there.
I agree. I don't know what kind of compensation he received.
It's not so important, the compensation. It's just that he had certain duties out of the picture, of course. But that seems that if they had alerted to others, because once alerted, then they borrow money, they do other things. But in the meantime, everybody else is getting paid, albeit late.
That's correct.
Which is a part of the problem. You say, well, gee, maybe some other creditor shouldn't have been paid. The IRS always thinks it should get paid first.
That's correct.
Because that's money that is specifically withheld to be paid to, you know, that's money that's supposedly already there and shouldn't be paid to somebody else. So that's it's a high burden. I don't know what a trial would accomplish, I guess, other than bringing out a lot of this goodwill and things that, you know, losing jobs and some other things.
Well, a detailed review of the financial statements, the tax returns, and the bank account statements show that there wasn't enough money there to pay the taxes, even if Scottura had notified the principals of this problem with not having paid the taxes.
They would have gotten right on it like they did.
I'm sorry?
They would have gotten right on it and maybe borrowed some money, maybe laid somebody off, maybe done some other things to get it paid and not, you know, they went through all the things that were, everybody else was paid, even if it was 120 days, but they've got them paid.
That's correct, but it would appear that those expenses were ordinary and necessary to the business.
Yeah.
The regulations, which I believe would have the force of law in this court, say that the issue, do they have extravagant and unnecessary expenses? Those facts are not evident in this case.
Yeah, they only throw out the football tickets, which I guess is not that big, faced with the amount of money that was needed.
In my view, the football tickets were de minimis and likely had a perfectly valid business purpose. The corporation was trying to recover from the loss of its largest customer. One of the ways to generate business is to take people to football games. But that was not developed to any great extent. It certainly could be a trial. The issue in this case, if it was just a question of financial hardship, or if it was just a question of the concealment of these issues by Gina Scottero, the treasurer, it would be a much stronger case for the government. But in this case, we have both issues. And this court apparently has not previously had an occasion to consider, does financial distress even qualify as a reason for abating the penalties? And the court hasn't previously had an opportunity to decide, would an incapacitation of the corporation by a principal be sufficient to result in the abatement of these penalties? We have both of these things going on here, and there's a number of cases in which courts have recognized that under the right circumstances, the penalties should be abated. It's a very subjective test. It's the facts and circumstances evident in the case. And that's why it's really unfair to enter a summary judgment against a taxpayer who has not had the chance for the jury to consider the case. This is a subjective issue. This is a small, closely held corporation. And I would submit it should not be held up in the same light as some big corporation like General Motors. Probably has armies of accountants there to make sure they don't have a problem with their taxes. This is a small, closely held corporation in which the sole shareholder inherited the business from her husband. She's a high school dropout. She doesn't know how to run a business.
This has really impacts on employees, too, though. That's why it's really important to remit those taxes. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I think if you're an employee, let's say you make $50,000 a year, and $10,000 shows up as having been remitted to the government as withheld taxes from your pay. Now you get your statement at the end of the year, and you figure your taxes are $6,000, so you want a $4,000 refund from the IRS. If they haven't been remitted, the IRS not only will not give you $4,000, but it'll ask you to pay another $6,000, even though you've lost $10,000. From supposedly been withheld from your employer. Isn't that how it works?
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. The government has an acute interest in making sure that the taxes are collected and paid. In this case, we've paid all the taxes. We've paid over
$300,000. That's why it's important to pay these things and keep current, because the employees are the ones who really suffer in these situations when the taxes haven't been remitted.
Absolutely. Although the employees would get credit for taxes having been withheld regardless of whether the employer pays the taxes in. But we paid the taxes. This involves the penalties, which is above and beyond.
Well, no, you paid $130,000 of this is penalties, isn't it?
That's correct.
And there was over $300,000 total bill.
The $300,000.
You just want to get back the penalties part.
Right, the penalties.
But there's a reason why there's stiff penalties here for failing to remit withheld taxes from that you owe the IRS. It's not your money.
To encourage compliance, and I would submit here that there was compliance once they found out the problem. The penalties have no other purpose other than to punish the taxpayer. The government hasn't lost a penny in this case by the failure of this taxpayer to do anything other than pay the taxes and the interest on the taxes. Your Honor, I'm into my rebuttal period. I'll reserve a minute or two for rebuttal.
Okay. Ms. Leavitt.
May it please the Court, Tracy Leavitt, Assistant to the Solicitor General for the United States. Judge Evans, I think you're exactly right, which is there is a policy reason why these penalties are stiff and they must be imposed. As the Sixth Circuit recognized in Brewery, we live in a system of self-assessment of taxes with millions of taxpayers, and unless there is substantial penalties that are associated with withholding, with not paying the withholding taxes, you can get in a situation where employers decide times are tough, rather than making hard decisions, let's just go into the government's trust fund. And in fact, permitting an exception to the penalties in this case, the government believes would effectively gut the penalty provisions. It's undisputed that the taxpayer effectively used the government's trust fund taxes as operating capital and subordinated the government to all other creditors, including the St. Louis Rams and the sole shareholder in this case. In addition, it's undisputed that the taxpayer delegated accounting to an individual with no accounting experience whatsoever and no effective oversight. And I think Chief Judge Murphy correctly observed that there's simply no reason why the taxes weren't paid in this case. I think it's important to separate out that there are three distinct penalty issues here. There's first a penalty for non-filing. There is also a penalty for non-payment of trust fund taxes. And there's a penalty for non-payment of non-trust fund taxes. Although the taxes haven't been separated out on the record of this case, there are the employer's share of the taxes and withholding taxes that weren't paid. With respect to the filing, the payment penalties for non-filing, there's really no dispute here about those penalties. The financial distress certainly doesn't preclude mailing your forms on a timely basis. And there really can be no reasonable argument that Ms. Scaturo's psychological problems precluded her from filing. It's undisputed in this record that she actually contemporaneously prepared the correct forms. She just simply didn't mail them. And in two places, both page 8 of the appellant's brief and page 46 of Ms. Scatura's deposition, she identifies the real reason why she didn't file as she just simply didn't know that you couldn't file without payment. And that's not the kind of reasonable cause that allows a taxpayer to escape penalties for failure to file. So that leaves the failure to pay both the trust fund taxes and the non-trust fund taxes. With respect to the trust fund taxes, it is the government's position that financial distress in and of itself is never an excuse for non-payment of trust fund taxes, and we agree.
What specifically goes in that, the trust fund? Are you talking about Social Security income tax?
It's actually the amount that's withheld from the employee's salary. And under 26 U.S.C. 7501A, Congress has expressly defined that amount that's withheld from the employee, not the employer's paid-in share.
So the non-trust fund is what the employer pays.
Exactly, okay, exactly. Thanks. And as a matter of statute, that's expressly defined as a trust, that is money held in trust for the United States. It is, importantly, it is not the employer's money. And in every other trust fund situation where, for example, an attorney is acting on behalf of a trust, it is not permitted that just because times are tough, the attorney is allowed to raid a trust fund. And it's the United States believes that that's the same is true in the withholding tax area, and that the Sixth Circuit's decision in Brewery is correct. But even if you were to apply, you don't have to decide that in this case, and that's one of the reasons why we haven't stressed that in our brief, because under any standard, the financial distress that's been alleged here is not sufficient even to meet the standards under the Second Circuit's free incorporation test. And there are really four undisputed facts that I think allow you to make that decision as a matter of law. The first is, as the court pointed out, is that every other creditor was paid, and within 120 days. That includes the sole shareholder. It's undisputed in the record that in 1998, at least $17,000 was paid on the sole shareholder loan. In 1999, $26,000 was paid on this loan. And in the first quarter of 2000 alone, $7,000 was paid, which far exceeds the taxes that weren't paid in that quarter. And in addition, this fact hasn't made it to our brief, but it is in the record and it is undisputed. Throughout this period, the officers all-in compensation nearly doubled. In 1998, the officers gave themselves a collective $40,000 raise. In 1999, they gave themselves a collective $26,000 raise. And at the year 2000, they gave themselves a collective $50,000 raise.
It's interesting, and I assume that would mean they'd pay more taxes that were not put in the trust fund.
That's exactly right. And, I mean, part of the problem is of their own making, that they're paying themselves more money and they're not withholding. And just if you wanted to check this in the record, you can confirm this in the 1997 year-end financial statement. which is docket number 21, exhibit 20, the 98 tax return, which is docket number 15, exhibit 7, the 99 tax return, which is docket 15, exhibit 8, and the 2000 year end financial statement, which is docket 21, exhibit 24. In addition, there are significant cash balances at the end of the year, which is also reflected on the tax return, and there is, as Chief Judge Murphy found, it's undisputed that there was a ready, willing, and able creditor in this case, which was Loretta Clark, the sole shareholder, who immediately made a loan when she found out about this. With respect to the incapacity argument, it's the government's view that this is a classic case of reliance and not disability within the Boyle rubric. Essentially, what happened was the taxpayer delegated accounting to a senior officer who was not up to the task and was not controlled. But that doesn't disable the taxpayer itself, which was Diamond Plating, not Gina Scaturo. And in fact, it is undisputed that she was under the direct control of Loretta Clark. So notwithstanding any illness of Ms. Scaturo, the taxpayer, Ms. Clark, could have, she was not disabled. In addition, under American Biomaterials and that line of cases, even if the taxpayer is disabled, if there is an absence of reasonable internal controls, the disability is not an excuse to get out of the penalties. And in this case, there were no controls. It's undisputed on this record that Ms. Scaturo even noted on the financial statements that the taxes weren't being paid, but no one read the financial statements, and no one asked. And under Boyle, the Supreme Court expressly said that every lay person is expected to understand that you owe taxes and tax returns must be filed. And no matter who you are expected to ask and to inquire and to make sure your taxes get paid. And simply because you have a high school education is no reason not to inquire whether your taxes are being paid on time. And unless you have any other questions, we're happy to rest on our briefs.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
How much time is left here? No, 1 minute.
I don't have much time in rebuttal. The returns having been, I believe that there was one correction to the record. I believe the returns were prepared by the outside accountant and not by Gina Scaturo, and she erroneously thought that if they couldn't pay the tax, then she couldn't file the return. That was obviously incorrect. Gina Scaturo has just a high school education and minimal accounting training. I would submit this is not a delegation case. I mean, if we came into court and said we were relying on this accountant and that's why they didn't file, end of the story. I mean, the Boyle case makes it clear you can't delegate that authority to some outside accountant. But in this case, we have the treasurer and the secretary who has the most control over the financial information. She concealed and omitted a material fact in not telling the other principals about these taxes. And as soon as she admitted that they had been done, they ran out and filed their returns and they paid the taxes. And what I would ask the court to do would be to not be so quick to enter a judgment against the taxpayer here and send it back for a jury trial. If a jury comes back and says this taxpayer loses, so be it. But I would ask the court to send this case back to trial. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.